This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. We're coming to you early in the new year, actually. We've had a cup game, and we thought, tell us something, we're going to go straight into our league match. We're going to have a two-week break. We're going to go into that league match, and we're going to be absolutely fired up. But it didn't quite go according to plan. Wolverhampton Wanderers, after us going 1-0 up, got an equaliser, which meant that we've got a replay coming. So as the Besotted crew, we thought we'll take a little bit of time out. We'll chill out a bit. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about what's going down in Brentford land on the eve of our match against Wolverhampton Wanderers. I'm sitting here in sunny North London. I see the sky's blue. The shed that I built a few days ago, before Christmas, as you know about, is subject to the wind. Never build a shed when a hurricane is due. That's all I can say. So I have to I'm gonna have to pick up the pieces, as they say. But I've actually put that I've got to put that behind me as well. Any DIY people out there actually want to come and give us a hand? Anyway, that's right. Shed 7, shed 0. breezy life, as they say. But wittering on, my name is Billy Grant here, and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint looking out the window at my shed. It's looking rather sad at the moment now, and Lainey's looking out the window at something probably a little bit more beautiful than I am at the moment. Lainey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Just come out of a 12-day detox in Thailand again. Feeling brilliant, and all is good in the world. I'm glad I haven't got to worry about building or rebuilding sheds tomorrow. I actually love the fact that you spent the whole of Christmas doing it and it's collapsed. I think it's just brilliant. What a waste of time. What a waste of money.
Listen, mate, you can't sort of fault us for the effort. Me and the cartel B, we were there like in the middle of the night, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we started a little late every day, and the fact that we had sort of kind of a bit of wine and sort of mulled wine on the go as well probably didn't help. Oh. And you know, a bit of port as well. So and the fact that we're there with our with our flashlights on our phones trying to put a shed up in the middle of the night. At that stage, I guess we should have known that it probably wasn't to be, but then Cartel B decided to go back to the cartel, so he's gone back to America. So he's in Mexico at the moment now, and he's not coming back, and he's left me to deal with a shed on my own.
Literally pick up the pieces.
That's right. So I say, cheers, Cartel B. Enjoy yourselves in Mexico. We'll sort it out this end. But anyway, so
Any more DIY and shed talk before we crack on with
that's right. I've noticed you've got a bit of a jungle, bit of a forest behind you, haven't you, Lainey?
Yeah, not Nottingham one though. They can write off.
They can the absolute cheats, as we talked about a few months ago. And tell you something, right? Listen, you can tell this podcast is going left and right and all over the place. We don't want to talk about the Wolves game at all, but we talked about Nottingham Forest, like, you know, we even did a sort of special little intro piece of Nottingham Forest as well, because the thing is that every time we sort of talk about Forest or mention them, we always go, how can they just keep buying these players? And there was like real confusion in our heads that they were be able to buy these players. But we just kind of took it for granted that they were just kind of able to buy the players, didn't they? But now things have seemed to have come to roost. I mean, we're going to record now just before the actual announcement's been made. But the rumour has been had that, you know, Nottingham Forest is going to get pulled up for FFP because basically they've just spent far, far too much money, more money than they should really spend. And the reality is, listen, you know, forget about Forest now, but when we're in the Championship, we used to talk about Derby County, we used to talk about Sheffield Wednesday, and basically how they were trying to cheat themselves out of the Championship. And that's what they were doing, because these are the rules, and they didn't abide by the rules, and they thought if they could spend more money, they'd get out of that Championship, and then they'll get loads of money, which they'll be able to pay back any fines or anything else that they've had. And they fluffed it, and now they're in all sorts of trouble. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, languishing at the bottom of the Championship. You know, Derby County is still just struggling in Division One. You know what I'm saying? But Nottingham Forest, they got out of the Championship. You know, fair play to them. You know, they got Steve Cooper in, who's not in there anymore. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is that they spent about £3 trillion, right, in doing that, and they also spent £45 trillion in the Premier League. And now it seems that the chickens have come to roost, and Nottingham Forest are in all sorts of trouble for spending so much money, and they possibly might get a points deduction now. We talked about this with Everton a couple of months back, didn't we, Lainey? Yeah. It's probably the same rhetoric with Forest, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. You know, each club's obviously, you know, the circumstances are different, but the long short of the overall issue is they've spent way more than FFP allows them. And, you know, what happens is, you know, the fans of the clubs involved, they get like ultra defensive of their own club, and they blame the, you know, the authorities, and it's the rules, and they claim that they've done nothing wrong, and how about, there's a lot of what about going on, what about Chelsea, what about Man City, which, you know, which is a fair point, you know, what they need to be, you know, they're another two clubs that it's quite obvious things don't stack up. So the authorities do have to come round to them. But at the moment, it's Forest that are under the spotlight, you know, just as Everton were. So they if they do get the points deduction that a lot of people are predicting, then I think it's fully deserved. Because, you know, we can get on our high horse because we know that our club aren't doing any of those things. And we got promoted despite parachute payments and clubs playing jiggery pokering with finances, and buying up, you know, all the big players that help to get them out of the league. So we've done it the right way. So I want to see teams doing it the wrong way punished. It's only fair and good. So the game that's coming up next weekend is going to be interesting for a million different reasons. So we'll also talk about that a little bit later.
We will talk about that a little bit later, and we were going to talk about him a little bit later, but we might as well come onto it now as well. And the reason why it's quite interesting, Ivan Toney is back for that game, and you could see they're starting to pump up the social media on Ivan Toney now, just putting him back into the stratosphere. And I think the main message that comes back about Ivan Toney is that he is absolutely potty for it. That's the number one message that I get. And the number two message, which seems to be sort of quite equal, is that Ivan Toney is going absolutely nowhere, right? And there was that interesting video with him and Pontus Janssen. If you haven't seen it, check it out on the Brentford Twitter page. And them two just basically having a little FaceTime conversation. Ivan's in the dressing room and Pontus is just lying on his bed, it looks like, you know. And it's just a little bit of a jokey mates conversation between the two of them. And you could sort of say, oh, it's nearly nothing. But it was actually gave you a nice little vibe, because for me, when you watch that, you sort of think, you know, Ivan is feeling, right, I'm back, I'm really up for this. There's one of my old mates talking about it. You know, he's asking if he's going to come back and watch him play. And it very much gave you a feel that Ivan was absolutely potty for it, and he wanted to go out there and just basically just score lots of goals. I mean, what did you feel, Lainey?
Well, there's two takeaways from it. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the banter between the two of them, and, you know, all the talks about some beards and stuff. But, you know, Ivan says in it, he expects to be, well, he doesn't expect to be. They're talking about him being captain straight away, which probably means Northgard might not be around. And the other thing is he says, I'm staying. I think he says it three times. And you don't say that unless you're not thinking it. You know, whether it January is still going to be a long month. It depends who else comes in for him. But let's look like what's happening right this second, right under our nose. You know, he is going to play for us against Forest. Where was a lot of talk a few months ago saying he'll never play for us again and we'll mothball him and blah, blah, blah. But that seems to not be the case. And I don't think Ivan does that social media piece if he's imminently going to go, because you just hide away. You just wouldn't put yourself in that situation. It's super friendly and it was really good. And it's a real positive piece of PR, because there's a lot of negativity around the club at the moment, and we need all the positives we can get. So yeah, I enjoyed watching that.
Yes, I mean, and talking about, you know, obviously Ivan Toney is going to be coming in, and this is not for the Wolves game, but we're just having a little chat anyway, because we haven't chatted for a while. You know, Ivan Toney's coming in, and that's because, you know, also there's another player's coming out, so there's almost like a replacement factor here. Obviously Brian Mbeumo is out. He's out for, you know, for the greatest part of this season, to be quite honest with you, which is a massive loss for the Bees, as we all know, and anybody else who's listening who might know as well. However, Ivan Toney coming in might actually kind of, you know, at least sort of temper that, you know, actually kind of just balance up a little bit now. But on top of and Boomer obviously going, the AFCON, the African Cup of Nations, has started, and we've also got a number of players who also left us for a few weeks, or maybe even longer than that, depending on how long their team stays in. And like I said to you people, the AFCON is now, like I said, it's on TV and Sky Sports. It's also on, I think, BBC Three was showing us some of the games as well, you know, and it's just great entertainment to you know, to kind of watch the matches. It's good to, you've got games on at sort of 9, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, so every single night. So there's plenty of football to be watching as well, which is all good. It's over in Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast won their first game 2-0 against Guinea-Bissau as well. But the first game that really affected us was Nigeria playing Equatorial Guinea as well. So Nigeria, obviously, we've got Frank the Tank Onyeka playing for them. He not only started for them, he started in traditional CDM position as well, and he played the whole game. So they obviously kind of rate him, and they sort of think, you know, Premier League footballer, this is the person who's going to actually kind of lead our charge. They got, like I said, they got a result. They've got a draw there as well. Bit of interesting news about Frank the Tank Onyeka, isn't there, Lainey?
Yeah, I mean, The Guardian ran a newspaper article 4 days ago now saying that Frank Onyeka is wanted by Everton and Fulham. They talk about a loan move to Fulham, which does seem a bit odd, I have to admit, because, you know, we've gone from struggling to put a team together, and them running a story about the possibility of him going out on loan. Now, the jury's probably still out on Frank the Tank, because, you know, I don't think we've seen him at his best. We've seen glimpses. He's played better recently, I have to admit. It's probably the best form that we've seen him since he's been at Brentford. I'm not sure he's the player that we hope that we will be bringing in, but regardless of that, you know, he seems to be sort of settling down, and he has seized his opportunity this time. And being out with Nigeria and having a run of games out there can only help him. So if he can come back, in good shape, I'd say, you know, he's definitely going to play an important part for the rest of the season at Brentford. So unless we're going to bring players in, I can't see, you know, him going out. So unless Fulham or Everton are going to give us big money for him and we're going to clear the decks for next season, then, you know, it's an interesting rumour. I just don't see how it suits us at the moment. Do you, Bill?
I'm not really. I mean, but saying that, you know, there's a rumour of him going on loan to Fulham, like I said to you, and also Everton. But then somebody else turned around and said, you know, £20 million. Now, I don't know if this was a joke, or if this was, you know, again, one of those Chinese whisper things which helps to just get out of proportion. But, you know, but if it is a case that we were being offered £20 million or potentially, or you're putting together a deal where he potentially can get £20 million for Frank the Tank Onyeka, I think basically we take it straight away, because I'm not having a go at him. You know, it's cool. But at the end of the day, we are a situation as well where everyone keeps saying, we've got to sign. But you have to remember, we're almost at our limit with the players that we have. Okay, we've got probably one loan signing left. You know, bringing any players in, yeah, you could talk about the Charlie Goods and all these other players that, you know, they're in our side. But, you know, there is also a Charlie Good situation, whereas Charlie Good is, you know, has obviously got an injury. He's got an illness as well. And I think the club's doing, as the word they say, good by him as well. So they're sticking by him. So, you know, we've got certain players in our camp who we can't get rid of. You know, if you've got injured players, you can't just sort of get rid of them so you can get new players in. It doesn't really work like that. So our biggest problem is the fact that we've got so many injuries, we can't kind of offload these players. We've just got to wait for these injuries to come back. So we've got to be very, very specific about who we do sign and where we're going to sign them, because we can't sign 10 players at the moment now. We can only probably sign a couple, you know, maybe two or three. So if there's a possibility that Frank the Tank Onyeka, and we can get money for him, and they believe that they can actually get a player to replace him and maybe on a higher standard or a better player, then maybe they may look at it. You know, one of these players is, and we're going to come on to the signings in a minute now, but we've got Koniak. Is it Koniak as well, who's the wonder kid as well, who we've just signed till 2029. Now, he plays in the CDM position as well. He's only 18 years old, very young, but they're very aggressive, and they think he's a very, very good player. Now, whether or not he's ready to go in now immediately, or whether or not he's a B-team signing who we're going to wait to come in the summer or the summer after that, we don't know. But the thing is that, you know how the club plans way, way ahead. And, you know, maybe that's the situation that we're looking at, where, you know, maybe you say, listen, we're quite comfortable letting Onyeka go now, if we get something for him now, because we may not get the similar deal in the summer, because we feel we can cope now. We can feel that we can cope between now and the summer. So, you know, that's one of my thoughts anyway, Loney.
Yeah. If this kind of guy is, you know, more ready than we think, you know, I think when he signed, we think, you know, it was announced that he's a B-team signing, really. But in the same... Yarmolik was a B-team player, and he's made an impact already. So I'm hoping big things. You know, he signed till 2029 with another year's extension on it. It's clear that we think he's going to be the next Norgaard by the looks of it. If that's the case, then you can see. If he's readier than we've been given the impression, then it might allow them a Frank the Tank exit. But if we were to make £7 million on Frank's transfer in and out, then I think as a bit of business, you'd have to let him go, because I'd been saying for quite a while we wouldn't get our money back, let alone a profit. And that's not a massive dig at him. It's just that, you know, it just hasn't seemed to work, and we're a couple of years in now, and you would have thought he would have got settled a little bit quicker. Although the thing that really I find amazing, that Jonas Koniak was born in 2006. So he's like, he's just like so young. It's like we were
the Martin Allen years.
Yeah, Martin Allen years. 2006 just seems like 5 seconds ago, right? And he was just born then. You know what I mean? So, time flies, mate. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, while we're talking about what's needed and what's clear and what's obvious, and does letting players out, you know, letting players go, weaken us even further. If we bring in a left back like tomorrow, and another midfielder and possibly, you know, another winger, then everything else kind of like you can chill a bit. But until players come in, I think the obvious feeling is that, you know, we're weakening ourselves when we can't really afford to, even though we've got players coming back. You know, we said about Brian and Bumo being out, but then obviously you've got Sharda that's you know, on the verge of a comeback. He's, you know, he looks like he's match ready. Can't see him playing against Wolves, but I expect him to play against Forest. Josh De Silva's back, you know, he's setting up goals and getting penalties during the week, so he seems to get minutes under his belt. So there are players coming back, and then obviously there's Godos that, you know, you think would fit into that midfield area as well. rather than a fullback if we get a signing, but he's out in the Asian Cup at the moment. So, it's a really confusing picture, I have to admit.
It is, yeah. And just talking about Bodgodos quickly, he actually played in Iran's 4-1 win over Palestine. He got man of the match and he also got two assists. He played very, very well, apparently. So that's all good. So it looks like he might be out of the team for longer than we probably want him to be, which is, again, it's one of those ironic things, because you'd never think of saying, oh my God, we're missing Godos, we really want him back, but just shows how things have changed. Just coming back quickly to that Ivan Toney and Pontus Janssen interview, go and check it out, definitely on the Brentford site, because it's definitely worth checking out. There's one little bit of a giveaway in that one as well, because obviously, if you remember rightly, and like I said to you, I think a lot of people seem to have put that Wolves game out of their minds. That we played them, not the first one, you know, the league game. I mean, we definitely put that one out of our minds, but the cup game as well. So, and almost I've forgotten that actually there was an injury. Norgaard got injured in the Wolves game, which is a bit of a gutter, to be quite honest with you. But it all went a bit silent as to kind of how bad the injury was, or how bad it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, he's got injured and he's disappeared off the face of the earth. It's an interesting conversation between the Tony and Mr. Pontus Janssen there, where he said to him, was it three times, you're coming in as captain, you're going to be captain, you're going to be captain, you're going to be captain. He kept on saying that to him. And I was thinking, oh, all right, so why would you say that? And why would the club put that out if Ivan Toney wasn't going to come in and be the captain? Which to me says Norgaard might be out for a little bit longer than we expected.
Possibly, yeah, that it could mean that. It could also mean that they've been negotiating with Toney behind the scenes, and they sort of said, right, you know, what do you want to stay for the rest of the season? And he said, I want this, that and the other, and I want to be captain. And they've gone, yep, okay, that's fine, you can be captain. And it could mean that as well. You know, I know we're, you know, surmising, and it's just chewing the fat, but one's more positive than the other. I don't want us not to have Norgaard. I think so much riding on it. I mean, there isn't so much riding on it, but there is. You know, we know it's a 9-month season. We know that, you know, the game is of course it's important, and you know they're the teams right above us, and we have to get back to winning ways, and we have to stop getting points on the table again. We don't want Norgaard out. Because he's only, you know, he only seems to have just come back recently. So, it's, you know, it's, it'll be another bitter pill to swallow, I have to admit.
Okay. And just back to the African Cup of Nations, we had the Egypt-Mozambique game. We almost had a bit of an upset there as well. Mozambique, I think, would have won their first ever game in the AFCON as well. They were on the verge. It was a 90th plus sixth penalty from Salah, who actually kind of equalised for Egypt, who are the beaten finalists last time around as well. So that was a bit of an adventure there, a bit of excitement, like, you know. And also, like I said, Ghana actually lost to Cape Verde as well. And Ghana, actually interesting, Ghana, the players who played for us for Ghana recently was Tariq Fosu, and I'm not going to say anything else, besotted fan, but there's maybe a little bit of news. Tariq Fosu, maybe for our USA, from our little American friends out there as well, a little bit of news. I'm not going to say anything more than that, like I'm saying, but Tariq Fosu may be rearing his head again out there, so as you say, as we move forward. Anyway, what was I going to say as well? Oh yeah, so an AFCON as well, the next one which is going to be on our minds obviously is going to be Wissa, okay, who is going to be from the Democratic Republic of Congo as well. They've got their game on Wednesday, and like I said to you, they've got a game against Zambia on Wednesday, and then they've got two more games after that. The way it works in the AFCON is the top two teams, there's six groups, the top two teams in all those groups go through to the knockout phase, and then the four of the six best third place groups as well, so pretty much nearly everyone goes through to the third place. So there's me. Listen, of course I want our players to do as well as possible, but the reality is being selfish as well. You want their teams to not do so well so that they come back home and they can play for us. So we're just looking at the possibilities of which one of these players is going to be back early. Is it going to be Frank the Tank, or is it going to be Wissa? We shall see. It'll become a little bit clearer by the time we go into the Forest game at the weekend.
JB, I'm sure, will be aware of this, that Brentford played Zambia at Griffin Park, about 1993, 94, something like that. So maybe JB can do a little AFCON Brentford bit of fact and funk for next week. I mean, he can do what he wants, but it might be nice to... He does what he wants. JB does what he wants. He's fat and funk. He does what he wants.
That's right. Let's see if we can knock that up as well, because maybe we could talk about Nigeria. Nigeria played Ghana as well at Griffin Park as well. Old Griffin Park. It is not New Griffin Park. I know you've been moaning about us saying New Griffin Park, but okay, let's say Old Griffin Park as well. Does that get a moan as well? So I was gutted I didn't get that Africa-Ghana game. Apparently it was meant to be really wicked. But anyway, we should move on, because like I said to you, we're going left and right and up and down. Transfer-wise, we've already talked about Konak, who we've signed as well, our first signing of this window. I said the Wonder Kid, you know, plays at central midfield and CDM as well. Now the interesting thing is that the big signing that we're looking for, we've been talking about it for ages. Every time I do my Observer column as well, you know, and I did another one I think it came out on New Year's Day as well, or New Year's Eve as well, when I talked about our potential signings. Very difficult to try and predict who or where we're going to sign when you've got so many injuries, when you can't get players going out. But I said, like, every time I do that column, they say, who are you going to sign? I say, well, we haven't got a backup left back, saying that for about 3 years now. We all know that that's the case. The fact is that, you know, the reality is our backup left back was actually Hickey, because he actually played on the left before he came to us. Of course, he was playing on the right for us, but you know, the idea is that if Rico ever went out, Hickey would come over to the left and Bob's your uncle, we're sorted. Of course, we didn't actually predict the fact that Hickey will go down injured long term as well as Rico, and it's kind of scuppered us. Well, it hasn't kind of scuppered us, it's really scuppered us actually. So we're finding ourselves flapping around, trying to find ourselves a good balance in defence. You know, it hasn't helped that Ayer has been out injured, hasn't helped that, you know, Ben Mee's got, you know, he got banned for a period of time. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that's happened. You know, Collins, you know, is out. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that's just not been right about that. And it's come to the stage where you sort of think, look, can we hold out until the summer? Right? Try and hold out to the summer. Every time the ball comes across, you know, our standing left backs, you know, who might be Godos, might be, you know, Roslev, whoever it may be. Listen, not having a go at them, but, you know, the tracking of that man at the far post, it seems to be the trick that everyone seems to have sussed out. And we need to kind of like stop that immediately. So we just need somebody who's got some sort of expertise in fullbacking, you know what I'm saying? So there's a rumor going out. Okay, Sergio Reguilon, right, the Spurs left back, who was on loan, I think, at Manchester United. He's had his loan terminated, and so there's rumors going around that, you know, he's looking for a new club, and we're right in the offing, apparently, aren't we, Laney?
It looks that way. Yeah, you know, it's in the Daily Mail,
must be true.
I think a lot of people are talking about that. It says that Brentford are in talks with him. It would be a decent move. His stats look good. You know, they compare okay against Rico's as a defender. As an attacking wing back, I'm not quite so sure. I'm not seeing those stats. I'm not sure if he's the same kind of speed freak that Rico is, but as a experienced defender to bring in, whether it's on loan, whether it's a permanent deal, I can only see that as a positive. It's an absolute essential area. You know, you and I have talked about cover for Rico on this podcast for what seems like an eternity. It goes back 3, maybe 4 years. Even when, you know, Dominic Thompson was around, it was clear that he wasn't the right one either. So, you know, I remember him getting injured at Coventry in I think it was the failed playoff season, and we didn't have any cover then. I think Mads Beck Sorensen went in and filled, and you know, he's the least left wing back you'd ever see. So It's been a gaping hole for several years. We've spoken on here, we've spoken off air. It does baffle us how we've kind of let so much ride on Rico's fitness when he had two, not dodgy knees, but he had knee problems already. The right back, I know they brought Hickey in who technically could play both sides, but it was obvious that he was going to be the right-sided one. I'm still not knocking Mads Rosler because he's only had one or two dodgy games ever for us. But Sergio Reguilón would be a really good addition to the squad, and experience is what we actually need at the moment. I don't think it's going to end up a relegation dogfight, especially if Forest get points deduction. But for all of our sanity and all of our hearts, we need to be further away from the drop zone as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just watch your space, because as you know, we don't go hard on these transfer rumours, and we also do a due diligence as well sometimes. And sometimes
the other
we just
one, Bill. Yeah. Sorry, mate. Sorry to interrupt you. Other one is this Asane Diao, who's at Real Betis. Apparently, he has been in talks with Brentford. According to these rumours, €30 million clause has been triggered. And the last reports were the footballer and his father have already informed Betis that they want out. So whether it's Brentford that get his signature or Brentford's interest has announced it to other teams and they come in and they scupper it, we'll see. Whether that might be dead already, but there's a lot of rumour sites are talking about that as being a strong link.
Yeah, and again, young player, 18-year-old winger, very highly rated. I actually wrote about him in my Guardian article. That's one that I was actually sort of quite confident putting in, just to put the word around. The thing is that, you know, you've got to be careful about these things, because the word gets out about this, and I know you probably think, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter, but it does, you know. You know, the agents are playing the game. Brentford are after them, and then that kind of puts the price up. And that is the honest truth of what happens now. So it's probably making it harder for us to sign players. So we actually kind of like, if you notice, when we get the players that's under the radar, you've not heard about them, bang, all of a sudden we get them. Whereas beforehand, we were always in with the fight. You know, we've got Brennan Johnson, who's gone over to Tottenham. Listen, you know, and this is an interesting one, because let's just talk quickly about Brennan Johnson. We were after him very, 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 very early days, okay? Right, when he was still at Lincoln, right? He wasn't even playing at Forest. He was on loan to Lincoln, right, in Division 1, playing in the playoffs. And that's when we went in for him first time. Now, the idea is that if we'd got him inside there, we would have bought him in, we would have kind of sort of, you know, we would have, you know, done the Yarmoleks and stuff like that, maybe sort of put him in the B team, got him up to speed and not put him under pressure for 6 months or 8 months, and then you actually get him into the side. The problem is that, you know, he's gone in with Forest, gone straight in there, you know, Premier League, done some good things, not so good things, got the Spurs, and the pressure's on because he's got like a £60 million price on his head, and he's got to go in and deliver straight away. And all of a sudden, as Spurs fans, because they expect everything yesterday, some of them are saying, oh my God, we've had our pants pulled down here, he's rubbish, blah, blah, and this, that, and the other, and all having a go. I'm sure he's actually a very good player, but again, it's like there's a development stage that you go with these players, and when you're going to pay 10, 12, 14, 16, even £20 million, or probably now 25 for us because the price goes up, we can still go through that development stage with them rather than expecting them to deliver straight away. But when they go to these big ass clubs, right, who just expect something because they paid the money out, they expect you to deliver straight away. You know what I'm saying? Like David Raya is going inside. There's loads of pressure at Arsenal. We spent 6 months trying to get him to where we want him to be, and then he was being brilliant. You know, two games later, he hasn't done what they want to do, and they're all crying. You know what I'm saying? So I think the point I'm saying is that people like, you know, Asane Diao and players like that as well, I think they're meant to be very good, but also we have to realise that sometimes there is a little bit of breaking in time that we need to have with these players to actually kind of get them to the standard to do what we need to do. If not, if they're already really totally match ready, they'll go straight into Manchester City or Man United or Tottenham or Arsenal or any of the other 18 clubs that could probably buy and afford to buy players other than we can't do.
Yeah, 100%, and especially when you also remember that, you know, you're expecting really intelligent players to come and adapt to the way we play, because the way we play isn't the same every week. You know, a lot of the bigger clubs, they're able to, I mean, not always, but they're able to kind of stick to their front-footed A game. They just go out there and they, you know.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Their strengths are so numerous that they can just stick to a one style of play. We have to work out, you know, the threats of the others and work out whether we're going to go 4 or 5 at the back or whether we're going to, you know, just sit and defend and hold and, you know, take our chances on the break, or whether, you know, we reckon our chances even more and we take the initiative and take the game to others. So, you know, our patterns of play and having players get back and defend and the way we hold our lines, it's critical. And, you know, Thomas Frank sometimes has to spend time working with these players on the training pitch to get them to understand what's expected. You know, being a fast wing is great, yeah, but you also have to get back and defend. And, you know, that's not the case everywhere else. A lot of the cases, you know, like Ben Rama at West Ham, he's not told to do that. He loses the ball, that's it, you know. But it's a different kettle of fish at Brentford, for sure.
Yeah. And just keeping talking about the left-backs as well, there's also a rumour about us in for, Renan Lodi as well, who's at Marseille as well. He's a left-back and a left midfielder as well. Again, listen, you know, we're just throwing these into the pot a little bit, because what happens is, don't forget, in transfer time, you know, there's a million players, right, that you may be looking at, okay, and you make good people inquiring about them, their agent sort of hypes it up a little bit, and all of a sudden the world goes out, goes, Brentford are after them. But listen, we'll be looking at a number of different options. So this is one of the ones, again, like I said to you, we've been linked with Renan Lodi from Marseille. He's going to be decent. Actually, we might talk to our, if there's any more sort of kind of sniffing around him going on, we might talk to our Marseille bees as well. We've got bees all over the place. And our Marseille bees, the ultras, we went out there and filmed a little documentary of them. Oh, it was about five. I actually had a look at that the other day, Laney, about 2016, that was. Seven years ago, we went out to Marseille. We were right in the thick of their nutters. And a really good, really fun couple of days that was. That was with the Cartel B as well. He's the one that took us out there. Like, you know, he showed us to the sort of South of France Cartel. There you go. So, but Renan Lodi from Marseille, we'll keep you in the loop on that as well, if there's anything going on there as well. Azzedine Onahi as well, he's another player who, again, we've been kind of sort of linked with. You know, he's an attacking midfielder as well. He plays for Marseille as well. There's all sorts of Marseille characters out there. You know what I mean? So let's see how that goes as well. What else? Who else is there? Spurs. Morgan. A lot of people have been talking about Morgan Whittaker, who's interesting. He's a winger that plays for Plymouth, and it's almost like he's like, I think a lot of people feel more comfortable with Morgan Whittaker because he's more of a Brentford type signing. You know what I'm saying? Plays for a lower league club. It's doing all right for a lower league club. It's got the vibes, got the hypes going on, because we play, you know, because we're Brentford, unfashionable Brentford. The likelihood that he may come to us from Plymouth is probably higher than, you know, if somebody else would take a chance on him like we would do. I don't know. So there's been a little bit of kind of smoke around him. Whether or not there's any fires around that, though, I don't know. The Whittaker.
He looks really exciting. He does. And I've read a couple of the Plymouth fan forums and seen a few comments about him on Twitter, and the Plymouth Argyle supporters really rate him. Whether he's worth 10 million plus or not, I don't know. You know, in the same way, is KLP worth 10 million pound plus? I know that's what we paid for him, but do you know what I mean? They're the kind of amounts that get that kind of player when you're Brentford in the Premier League. If you're Brentford not in the Premier League, what we pay for Ivan Toney is what you pay for the big players. So the way the transfer fees get inflated, because we've clearly got money now, and anything to do with the Premier League is you know, pound signs. So you got to ask, will we get value for money for 10 million quid? So 10 million quid's almost nothing these days, which is really, really scary.
Yeah, most definitely. So, look, I mean, who else? I mean, I think there's been a rumour about Saïd Benrahma, but I don't know if it's made up by Brentford fans, to be honest. We know that West Ham want to get rid. The rumour is that they want to get rid, and there's Brentford fans saying, oh, yeah, he was wearing a Brentford badge when he went shopping to Aldi the other day and things like that. So, Saïd Benrahma may be coming to Brentford, but I'm not quite sure about that one. And also, I'm not quite sure how much we need him as much as we love him or we loved him. He was part of a very, very good side at the time, but I think our sort of kind of needs are a little bit higher at the moment now. And also, the bar that we have has been pushed up as well a little bit higher. You know, so there's that as well. Talking about players out, MPH, which is quite interesting, Marpert Harris, who only just came in. And like I said to you, after not seeing him for a long time, you know, him coming in, he properly bulked up. He looked massive. And he was like giving it the large arm during the Aston Villa game. Was it the Aston Villa game or was it the Wolves game? I can't remember. One of the games, I think. Maybe it was the Wolves game. It was actually the Wolves game, I think it was. The one just after Christmas where we lost, I think, and Marpert Harris was really kind of like giving it large, I think, to them. And then he was winding the crowd up and he was kind of, you know, just winding everybody up, like, you know. But anyway, there's rumours that we might be loaning him out, which probably makes a bit of sense, Laney, does it?
Yeah, it probably does. You know, he's been on the bench. And again, it's just, you know, as long as it doesn't mean we put four goalkeepers on the bench. But yeah, he needs game time somewhere, and if they think he's ready for a rest of the season move in the Championship, but we have to get, you know, the problem with some of these loan moves is you can't guarantee those first team minutes, and if he's sat on the bench somewhere else, you achieve absolutely nothing. We need him playing. So I don't know whether that means you have to drop him down to League One, and then the argument is, is the experience in League One good enough? I'm not sure, but yeah, he's not first team ready yet, so he does need to get some form. So it'd be interesting. I saw he was out in Dubai with Yanel at one of his management company's fitness camps last week.
And Marcondes, yeah.
And Marcondes, yeah, they're part of the same management company. I don't think he's coming. It wasn't a Brentford training camp. So, yeah, nice to see Emiliano though in the picture. Nothing but happy memories about Emiliano Marcondes. Obviously, the goal at Wembley that when we went up, and then still remember that absolute cracker. The last goal, or more than the last goal, but in the last game at Old Griffin Park against Sheffield Wednesday. It was just a beautiful goal. Out on the Braemar roadside into the top right-hand corner of the net. Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Go and check that out, especially our international bees as well, who may not quite know the history of that one. Like I said, she playoff, is it playoff semi-final? Playoff semi-final, Brentford Bournemouth, just Marcondes. You talk about that one, Laney? Is that one you're
talking about? No, I'm talking about the Sheffield Wednesday one.
Oh, no, the Sheffield Wednesday goal. Oh, yes. Yeah, God, yeah. The Sheffield Wednesday goal, which is all good. But anyway, listen, what were we talking about as well? That's it. I think, tell you something. I think we've transferred ourselves actually. Michael Olakigbe as well. Again, a player that I really like. Again, and he looks really promising when he comes on. But I think recently when we'd realised that we needed some ammunition in the side, and almost like we brought him on, and there was almost like a feeling, it's like, oh, we really hope he does well. But it wasn't like you feel that he's going to take us to that next level. And when you get to that stage, I think you have to feel that he needs to go out there and actually kind of get some experience, because he's a very, very skillful player. I don't know if you've seen any of his videos online as to when he kind of first joined Brentford and stuff. You know, he's a proper baller as well, but he needs to get some game and match experience behind him, because I think that he can actually go really far. So like I said to you, there's rumours about him possibly going to stepping out on loan as well, which is all good. But listen, we've chatted quite a lot about kind of AFCON and, you know, Ivan and, you know, all sorts of transfers and ins and outs and stuff like that. We're going to have to, Laney, and we're going to have to actually talk about this Wolves game, which is something obviously we don't really want to talk about, but we need to talk about it, because we've just got to get it, just get it out of the system, just flush it out of the system. So we're going to go away, we're going to have a little drink, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk Wolves. So FA Cup, we're in the hat, at least we are in the hat. Brentford played Wolverhampton Wanderers. They came down to New Griffin Park again. We played them a few days earlier and they gave us a bit of a beating. But this time, to be quite honest with you, I think we were very unlucky not to actually have gone through in the on our own, except for without them. We went 1-0 up. We got a goal as equaliser. If you want to sort of kind of have a look at the stats, which is what we like to do, XG was 1.36 to the Bees to 0.44 to the Wolves. They didn't create very much at all, big opportunity chances, but they put the ball in the back of the net, which is what counted. So we've gone away, and unfortunately we've had to have a replay, which we really didn't need with all our injuries, but we're just going to have to deal with it. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go over to the fans to hear what they had to say after that Wolverhampton Wanderers game. Then we're going to just have a little chinwag about the two Wolverhampton Wanderers games.
Well, we didn't lose. That was a good start. I thought De Silva was a real bright spot. Somebody who's not played since August. I thought he had a really, really good game. But, oh dear, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we can't keep a clean sheet for love or money. That goal was too easy for them. We just thought, like, we're still sitting at our 18-yard box where they play a short corner and nobody goes out to the ball. It's really, really frustrating. And it's not done on a confidence any good, failing to beat 10 men, having gone 1-0 up. The atmosphere was just awful. And, I mean, you and I are old enough to remember when the FA Cup was the big competition, wasn't it, for everyone. And I think it's just really sad that you come along to an FA Cup game and the atmosphere is so flat. You can't say fair play to the Wolves fans who gave it absolutely everything.
Yeah, this is it. And this is the injuries, isn't it? It's classic of every team that always has loads of injuries. There always seems to be one every season, isn't it? And it's us this season. And when you have that, you just have no rhythm to your game, no balance to the team. You see it and it affects results. It affects results. And it's just us this season. It's going to be a scrappy one. We just have to live through it, don't we?
Well, very disappointing, really. Down to 10 men so early on. We really needed to capitalise on it, and we didn't. I mean, it was there for the taking, but we didn't. Half the time, I forgot actually we were up against 10 men, but we just didn't make the most of it.
I thought they hit their missing man quite well, actually. They moved it all over the park, and we never really found what the gap was. Bit of a lack of confidence, I think. There was some good stuff. You know, good to see Josh back. He's a very different player than anything else we got, and he adds something different. Which was good, and a good goal from Malpay, but again gave away a corner which we shouldn't have done for the goal. And yeah, someone said, well, it looks like we're playing without any recognised strikers. You go, well, we are really, and that's the problem with it. Chance after chance, we stopped the rot, we haven't lost, no one wanted a replay, but just say we're in the cup,
we're in the hat,
and we've got a couple of weeks off, and who knows what's going to come back in that time. Maybe nobody. I think we're still a few, you know, 6-8 weeks away before we really start to see the team back. But you can just see players coming back one by one do make a difference. Tony, if he comes back, when he comes back, will make a massive difference over the presence up front that we just haven't got.
Five in a row beaten. I mean, a draw feels like a bit of a win, doesn't it? I mean, if it's a draw against Wolves in the cup, I mean, we've got to take these small wins, haven't we? So it looked a lot more positive than what we've seen in recent times. I mean, the fact that Josh De Silva's back is a good thing. The fact that we've got other people coming back and people are training, that's always positive. And no, I don't think we played badly. I don't think we deserved to lose the game. Oh, I'm not saying we did, but I don't think you could have argued if we'd have won. I don't think you could have turned around and gone, oh, they didn't deserve to win or whatever. But you definitely could have turned around and gone, I don't think they deserve to lose if we did lose. I think there were quite a few positives. And people coming back always helps that as well. So hopefully it's a bit more uplifted in the camp and whatever, and take that on to Nottingham Forest. I mean, that's a massive game.
So there you go. There's the fans after that game. And, you know, listen, they were pretty resigned. Listen, it is what it is. We're in the hat. You know, we're moving forward. As somebody said, that was positive because at least we didn't lose. And I suppose if you look at it that way, yes. But there are also, like I said to you, another positives in that game as well. Josh De Silva playing for a start as well was a massive positive for me. You know, it's really positive to see him out there and playing in the match as well. But also, like I said to you, you know, I thought that we looked dangerous. We could have probably got a few more goals, you know, but it wasn't quite to be. Wolverhampton Wanderers, though, in the cup, this is a game where I'm going to ask the question, Nani, do you think that we we need to get through to get ourselves some confidence, because what we were saying back in that game, some people go, oh, we don't want to lose this again, Bill, because, you know, it's just going to do them, it's not going to do them the world of good if they lose another game. But on the other hand, you sort of think that, you know, do we just get this cup thing out of the way? Because if we get through, then we're going to have to go to West Bromwich Albion at the end of the month again, and we've still got, you know, AFCON and players missing and all this kind of stuff. I don't know, I'm a little bit in two minds, because I would quite like to go to West Brom, the Vine pub, as a lot of people know as well. It's a nice Indian restaurant stroke pub, you know, which is quite busy football pub before the game, and I'd quite like to go back there before the match. However, at the same time, I also want us to kind of just sort of sort this injury problem out. What are you thinking?
I think it's a case of the negativity of some fans seems to be contaminating a lot at the moment. We go through these bad runs, you know. I'm not saying it's inevitable. We didn't do it. I mean, last season was so great, let's be honest, when we had all our players to pick from. It's been quite clear what the problem is. The problem is we haven't been able to pick the team that was here last year, you know. You know, I'm not going to over again. Ivan wasn't around, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's been a bit of a churn. I don't want this to sound too harsh, but the negativity is a bit over the top, I think. When we've got all our players back, things are going to improve. You know, I think some people need to grow up here and just realise that we are in the middle of a bad run. It doesn't mean we want to stop playing games, because we've only looked out of it. We looked out on our feet at Crystal Palace. You know, we weren't out of the game. You know, we still created loads of choice. We created chances in all of this. One or two games, you know, the Wolves game especially, you know. But everything else was, you know, narrow one goal defeats, just because we weren't strong enough.
And I'll interrupt you there as well. You're right, Laney, as well, because I've actually gone into the stats and I've actually spoken to some people areas as well, just to reinforce what my thoughts were. And a lot of people saying, I'll be mean crap and being rubbish. And I've looked and I thought, actually, no, attacking wise, we've actually created some really good opportunities. No, we haven't put them in the back of the net. And I know some people go, oh, yeah, we've never put them in the back of the net. It doesn't work. It does count. Because at the end of the day, I tell you why it counts. Because if we weren't creating them opportunities, I'll be absolutely shitting my pants, okay? Yeah. I'll be absolutely crapping my pants saying we've got no chance. Because if we're not creating nothing, we ain't going to score nothing. But at least if you create them, you have the opportunity to score. And you know, people don't score. No. But then you've got people coming back into the game, people coming back from injury, and they have the opportunity to do that. So as long as we're doing that, that's fine. The problem has been coming in defence. We've been letting in soft goals. We've been letting in weak goals. We've been not defending. And that's where the problem has been. Fix that defence and we'll be fine. I mean, probably be fine anyway, but fix that defence and we'll be fine. Obviously, they're looking into it with these rumours going around, and I think that's what the score is here. So for me, and that's why I'm glass half full. I'm not like a rose tinted glasses person. I'm like, look, let's look at the facts here. Okay, right. There's some shit teams out there. Right, there's some terrible teams out there, and we're not one of them. Yes, we've gone through a bad run, but everyone got really worried when Luton won two games. Oh my God, Luton are going to. Listen, this. Look at their record and look what they do and how they play. Okay, yes, they get a couple of wins because that's the type of team they are. But are they going to be able to continue that until May? And that's what you've got to think. All these teams, Sheffield United, they beat us. But are they going to continue that until May? This is how you've got to think. And this is the level-headed thinking we have to. So stop the panicking. Let's chill out. And let's just listen. I know everyone's got their opinion, but let's play this out over a couple of months, okay? Not over a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we have to keep remembering we have our best players coming back. Yeah, and we can still add to that. But we're at our worst, and our worst wasn't awful. Yes, we have lost quite a lot of games, but they were narrow. I think the term for us, Bill, is called, I think it's happy clappers. I think that's what they call people like me and you. I've been up. Yes, of course. I hate seeing my team lose, and yes, I have been low, and yes, you know, you do feel negative, but you just have to kind of go right. You know, why are we hemorrhaging these defeats? And it's because we, you know, Ivan Toney is such a huge part of the way we play. I mean, for us to be where we are, you know, it's got worse the last couple of weeks. Our league position slumped, but we were you know, above halfway without it for almost all of the season so far. And for him to come back and the way he's talking and the impact we all know that he's going to have. with Sharda hopefully in there as well, and whoever's going to play on the other wing, I assume it's KLP. We've got options, you know, and that's something we haven't had in the coming, you know, in the weeks just gone. Yeah. So I'm not down in the dumps for sure.
No, not at all. So listen, I mean, you know, talk about not down in the dumps, picking themselves up. Listen, we got JB in the house. He's got some facts and funk. He's got some FA Cup. He comes out with some stuff, man, as well. He's got some wicked FA Cup facts and funk. Let's go over to JB with his facts and his funk.
Jonathan Birchall back again. It was over 10 years ago, back in 2012-13, that we last had a draw in the third round of the FA Cup. Then it was Uwe Rosler's side who drew away with Southend 2-2 before winning the replay 2-0, setting up a match with Chelsea, which ended in another 2-2 draw at Griffin Park before we went on to lose 4-0 at Stamford Bridge. We went into the Wolves game having gone 12 Premier League games without a draw. So in reality, the chances of a draw were probably quite high. The Wolves game mirrored the match at Palace, with the quirky fact we had three different players wearing the captain's armband during the 90 minutes. At Palace, Norgaard had started, then Janelt took over when he went off, before Zanka finished the game when Vitali was subbed. Similarly, against Wolves, it transferred from Norgaard to Jensen to Janelt. We first played in the FA Cup in 1897. And this season is the 50th time where we've been in the third round. Prior to this season, we've had 9 third round games which weren't decided in the initial tie. Ultimately, we went on to win 4 and lose 5 of them. The replay will be the third time we've met Wolves recently, with a fourth looming on the horizon, which will make it 4 games with them in 45 days. But we have had 4 games against the same opposition quicker. As back in 1952, we played Luton in an FA Cup fourth round match, a replay, a second replay, which we lost, and then a drawn league game, all over 28 days, when we literally played them every week.
So there you go. I mean, the amount of times we are playing Wolves, it does feel like we're playing them every week, doesn't it, Laney?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Do you want to play them every week?
Not really. But do we want to play West Brom? Yeah, you don't mind West Brom. Yeah, it's a tricky schlep, isn't it? They're in fairly decent form at the moment, so that's not going to be easy. But I remember saying that during that League Cup run, we went up to the Hawthorns and we turned them over. So yeah, it's always an awkward one up there, and we did well last time. No reason why we can't do the same.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you something as well. I'm just talking about sort of kind of runs as well. It was, I think it was about 10 years ago now, that we went on a run. It was an absolutely phenomenal run because, I mean, obviously, you know, Dean Smith, and some people used to call him Streaky Dean because he used to go on like runs where we used to win loads and then runs where we used to not win hardly any as well. And I think I posted it about exactly 10 years ago. It does make me smile that over the last 14 matches with our 13 wins and one draw, Brentford have the best form in Europe, closely followed by Juventus, right? And that was exactly 10 years ago now. That was our first season in the Championship after we kind of came out from a little bit of a dodgy slump, and then we came in, then Dean Smith actually went on a very good run.
That's not our first season.
Second season in the Championship, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just throwing that inside, that these things do happen, as they say. Like, you know, just quickly, finally, coming onto this Wolves game, just looking forward to the Wolves game. Yeah, looking at where Wolves are good. I mean, we know because we see them, we've played them twice already now. Good at counter-attacking, good at finishing, scoring chances, good at creating balls, chances through balls and through individual skill. They're good at coming back from losing positions, which they've done twice, thank you very much. They're good at protecting the lead and stealing the ball from the opposition. Where they're weak is avoiding offside, defending attacks down the wings, when you've got wingers, defending counter-attacks, and also fouling in dangerous areas. They're very weak. So, but I think that, you know, when we played them last time, we kind of, you know, we hit them where it hurts. I have to admit something, though. as well. I didn't realise until the 80th minute that they actually were playing with 10 men. They got a man sent off for that horrible tackle against Norgard, and I spent most of the time sort of looking at Norgard and being very sad with Norgard and didn't notice the kerfuffle when the player actually got sent off. So I'm sitting down there until somebody, I think it was the Dutchman behind me, said to me, "Oh yeah, God, Brentford, don't you realise they've got 10 men?" I'm like, "Have they got 10 men? Oh no, bit of a fluff there." But you know, this is what happens in football.
His name was Joao Gomez, Bill.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, this is all good. So listen, Wolves in the FA Cup, not much else to be said. You know, we've played them before, we're playing them again. The side that we're going to, maybe we just briefly talk about the side that we're going to play them with, because that's, I mean, you know, we believe that Strakosa in goal will probably remain the same. Obviously, Norgard's going to be out, so Yenelt will probably come in his place. Josh De Silva will probably come back in again because he was looking quite hot. You know, the usual players, KLP, you know, he's going to be in there. You know, are you thinking not much change from the last time, Laney?
Yeah, it's down to fitness, but I think it will be. I got a feeling it may even be even weaker. You know, we want to win it, obviously, but the Nottingham Forest game is just going to be so important. I can't see us risking. If anyone's 50-50, I'd say they don't play. If Norgard is actually really fit, or is struggling, then I don't see him coming in. There are options there. I mean, I think Morpay starts. I think you know, as you said, De Silva. I think Lewis Potter needs more game time still. Jensen probably, yeah, he's probably going to be captain. Damsgaard, I think he needs more time. Roslev is the only right back. Who we play on the left? I'm not quite sure. Well, Yenelt probably, but. We'll see, but yeah, it's going to be a weaker, lighter team than the one we expect to go full guns blazing against Forest.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're saying it's going to be quick, but let's just say. So, listen, Lane, just give us a quick score prediction.
I'll go a 2-1 Wolves win.
Oh, and I'll go 2-1 to the Mighty Bees, which will see us going up to West Brom and going to the Vine Pub before the match, which I'll look forward to if that does ever happen. So listen, Laney is you're still out in Thailand doing actually getting your tox back in after the detox. So today is the day of toxing. So you're going to get curries and beers down here, if I'm correct.
I'm going to have one beer. First one in a fortnight, and I'm certainly going to have food.
Which is good. And loyalty bonus points. So you've got your loyalty bonus points back for the Forest game at all, by any chance?
I'll be in Cambodia.
Loyalty bonus points, absolute zero. So there you go. Well, you'll be having your holiday in Cambodia, and I'll be having my holiday probably in Richmond and Kew and in Brentford at that time. So we'll catch up with you very, very soon. But listen, Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Don't forget to buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. Thanks to everybody who supported us so far. And also don't forget to subscribe on all good podcast channels. And don't forget to check us out on pridofwest.london. Now we got Wolves on.
Anyone want to buy Billy a shed?
Yes, right. If you can, any offers out there, shed you like. I'm going to have to try and call someone else to sort this out. But anyway, we should move on from that. Like I said to you, Wolves game on Tuesday night. It is not on the box. It's going to be quite hard to get hold of if you're not going to the game. Everyone who's going up to the game, listen, safe travels, and hopefully we'll bring ourselves back in the hat on our own, as we say. But like I said to you, Forest is the big game on Saturday. We'll have another podcast probably on the Thursday. Laney in from Cambodia as well. We've never done a podcast from Cambodia. That's going to be very, very excited, actually, which is all good. So check it out on Thursday, some stage from Cambodia and from North London somewhere, as we're talking. We've got the Wolves.
Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees. How do you say that in Thai, by the way, Laney? How do you say it in Thai? Got no idea, have you?
No.
You're never wasting your time out there, mate.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.